Well, just before we get into the events of this week, obviously it's Inauguration Week in the United States, and in the US this week, two public holidays in a row, because Monday there is Martin Luther King Day, so there's going to be a public holiday there anyway, and Tuesday's a public holiday too. So I'll get into some of the details about the US this week and how some of that may rebound to us. But before that, just looking at the data for last week in the US, and inflation is okay-ish. It's not that it's great, but the inflation figures that came out for both producer prices and the CPI were just enough to get the market thinking, well, maybe there's a little bit of room there for the Fed to ease rates further. But it's not a clear-cut case, because when we look at the CPI in particular, the headline CPI actually came in where the market expected. It was up 0.4% for the month. That was after 0.3% monthly gain. And thinking on that, you know, these are becoming more common monthly increases. So when you start annualising that, you're getting way above 3%. Well, what happened for the year-on-year was it went up from 2.7% to 2.9%. But what got the market slightly excited was that the core CPI, where we've been running 0.3s month in, month out over recent months, came in at 0.2%. So as a result of that, the annual rate of core CPI inflation came down to 3.2 from 3.3. Remembering, of course, that the Fed's target's 2% for inflation. So you know, we are basing out and getting sticky way above the Fed's target. So what room there is for the Fed to cut is still extremely limited with these numbers that are coming through. Many of the other numbers that came through still point to a relatively firm US economy. We got some really conflicting indications from the Empire State Survey, which relates to New York State. And, of course, New York City itself is the biggest part of that very big service center, financial center. So, that may not be a big beneficiary of Trump's policy changes. So the January indicator there came in at minus 12.6 on the diffusion index from plus 2.1 going back the previous month. That's sort of financial services really that's impacting that. Whereas if you come down the coast to somewhere which is way more manufacturing oriented, and so we had the Philadelphia Fed survey came out, and this one for the month of January went from minus 10.9 to plus 44.1. Old style manufacturers getting pretty excited about having Trump in the White House and how they might become more protected in all this. Other indicators that came through, well, we had still reasonably firm retail sales for the month. December retail sales in the US were up 0.4%, and the previous month was actually revised up from 0.7 to 0.8. So it's looking really strong through the final quarter there. Core retail sales came in up 0.4% after being up 0.2% the month before. So strength still running through the key part that's keeping the US economy performing better than most others, which is consumer spending. Also on the housing side, we had the January National Association of Home Builders Index. That went up against expectations to 47 from 46. We also had a very strong reading for housing starts in the month of December. They were expected to be up 1.6% month on month. They were up 15.8%. And we also had pretty strong reading for industrial production for once, up 0.6% month on month in the month of December. So, some fairly strong reads running through those items. And also the Atlanta Fed, where they produce this tracker of where GDP growth is going. We've still got to wait a week until we get Q4 GDP and the first advance reading of that from the United States. But the Atlanta Fed's tracker is now reading 3% annualized growth for GDP. And if it comes in around there, the US has grown really strongly all the way through 2024 showing no signs of peeling back at all as we go into the first part of 2025. In US this week, obviously we've got the inauguration coming. There's a lot of ceremony around that, but it also, they'll be trying to get confirmation of Trump's cabinet picks as well. One of the cabinet picks who's straining at the leash to get in and do things from day one is his minister looking at immigration, and he wants to start certain law enforcement agencies going through key cities double quick to start expelling illegal migrants. So some of these things already showing some signs of changing. What we do know from the way in which things are changing are that it's very much oriented towards priming domestic demand, domestic industry in the United States. So it's favourable to some businesses. It's probably growth friendly, and it's adding to that upward pressure on the US dollar, where the US dollar is pushing up against just about all currencies and is exacerbating some of the weakness that's running through a currency like ours, the Australian dollar. So some of these factors are sort of starting to run through. And it looks pretty pro-inflation for the US, which again is going to be a bit of a headache for the Fed as it goes further down the track, but just watching to see how these things turn out. I doubt that anybody will be watching a few data releases that come out this week, but later in the week, once we get past the two holidays, we get initial jobless claims later this week. They were 217,000 last week, still pretty low. Expect to be 220,000 for the most recent week, so still a tight labour market there in the US. We get December existing home sales. They rose 4.8% in the month of November and expect to rise another 1% in the month of December, so plenty of strength running through there. And the January Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, which was at 73.2 on the preliminary reading, probably will still be at that for the latest reading. It's been in the low 70s last month or two, and that's a pickup from where it was going back to the middle part of last year. Moving then to China, and in China last week, we had mostly firmer data. Now, we start with the trade data, and exports are looking a lot stronger out of China, but there's probably a good reason for that, and that is that China's been trying to bring forward as much as they can on the export side ahead of Trump becoming president, because it knows it's going to start hitting these higher tariffs at some point, and probably pretty early. And so we're getting this bit of a bulge that's probably not a reflection of what demand internationally is like for Chinese goods. So exports were up 10.7% year on year. That was up from 6.7% year on year going back to the month of November. It probably also accounts for why we've seen some strength from time to time running through things like the iron ore price here. And our export trade to China has been pretty strong the last couple of months as well. But on the import side too, that bounced out of negative territory. It went to 1% year on year from minus 3.9% going back the month before. We also had their Q4 GDP, and to the extent you can believe the figures, it was actually relatively strong. It was up 1.6% quarter on quarter. It was the previous quarter was revised up from 0.9 to 1.3, and the annual change actually went up to 5.4% year on year from 4.6% year on year, remembering that the administration's target there was 5% growth. All of us thought that was unlikely, but somehow they've managed to manufacture a figure which is above that for the final quarter of last year. Fixed asset investment spending is the weakest of the December readings we got out of China. So that came back a touch to 3.2% from 3.3%. And of course, that reflects that they've still got problems running through the property sector there. But December industrial production lifted sharply. It went up to 6.2% year on year from 5.4%. And retail sales lifted a bit to 3.7% year on year from 3% going back the month before. So on the face of it, the data is looking a bit firmer there as far as China's concerned. Strangely, the unemployment rate ticked up one notch, so it went up from 5% to 5.1% in China. And house prices, they were deflating, but not quite as fast as in the previous month. So previous month in November, they were down 5.7% year-on-year. They were down 5.3% year-on-year in the month of December. You know, if you can believe it, China looks a bit better. And you put that together with the US still growing pretty firmly. And you've got the two biggest economies there, which are doing a little bit better, relatively. Some strength there coming through international demand, if anything. China this week, nothing of note, except for the People's Bank of China meets today. And at this point, they're expected not to touch interest rates. The main interest rate that they moved there, the deposit rate, 3.6%, same as the month before. Remembering that inflation's running pretty close, it's only about 0.4% year on year. So it's still a pretty hefty real interest rate, but probably will touch that when they see what policy measures will need to go into place to counter whatever the new administration, the US, deals to them over the next month or so. Moving to Australia, and we had some interesting releases last week. We had the ANZ job ads survey. That was up 0.3% for the month of December, after being down 1.8% the month before. But if anything, it sort of seems to be stabilising. Still a pretty strong number. We had the December Melbourne Institute's inflation gauge. This is a sort of tracker, if you like, for what might be happening through the monthly CPI. December wasn't such a good month in terms of inflation actually picking up. So the inflation gauge was up 0.6% month on month. That was after being up 0.2% the month before. So that may be a little bit of a warning sign for the next monthly CPI that comes out here, and also may mean that the quarterly CPI, which is critical for what the Reserve Bank does in mid-February, may not be quite as benign as perhaps the last month or so's inflation figures have been suggesting it could be. Also, going against what the Reserve Bank is expecting, we had the labour force data came out on Thursday, and it's just still running way stronger than expected. Employment rose by 56,300. It now means that over the past year, employment's up 444,000. That's 3.1% year on year. And to give you an idea of how different that is from what, for example, the Reserve Bank was expecting, their last monetary policy statement, which is brought out in November, so it was quite late last year, they expected employment growth for December to be 2.6%. They also expected the unemployment rate to be 4.3% in December. It came in at 4%, the unemployment rate. So that's a long way away from what the Reserve Bank's thinking about the relative strength of the labour market. The labour market is still strong as. And that really does mean that there's a significant headwind there to the ability of the Reserve Bank to bring down interest rates. So I'm leaning more towards they'll pass in February. I can't see that they really will have the data which will allow them to safely start to bring interest rates down in February. The data, the way that it's running, is still looking pretty strong. This week in Australia, we'll get things like the December NAB business conditions, business confidence surveys. They're hovering either side of zero at the moment. Business confidence a bit below zero. Business conditions a bit above. So just waiting to see how those particular numbers come out as we go through the course of this week. Also in Europe, last week we had November industrial production came out. That was up 0.2% after 0.2% increase. It's sort of flushing along, not particularly strong. We had November trade balance came out, and that was actually very strong. The surplus there on quite good export growth lifted to 16.4 billion euro surplus from 8.6 billion. It was much stronger than expected. And we had the minutes of the ECB meeting where, yes, they're focused more on potential softness of economic activity rather than inflation, but lots of warning signs in there that it's going to get harder for them to bring interest rates down much further. This week in Europe, we get things like the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey. That was running 17 going back last month. It was actually reasonably firm. I think it'll be around 16.9 for this month. We also get their January manufacturing and services sector purchasing managers indices. Manufacturing still looks pretty soft, and Europe's got one of the softer readings for manufacturing PMIs. It was 45.1. December looks to be about 45.6 for the month of January. But the services sector PMI is holding up okay. It's above 50. It was 51.6 going back to December. Expect to be around about 51.4 for the month of January. So as we march into this week with all the uncertainties which swirl around the inauguration and what policy changes will be coming in the US, one of the factors which is starting to come to the fore now and which markets will need to start to consider before we go very much further is limited ability for central banks to bring interest rates down further. And also, if we continue to see this improvement running through the two biggest economies, and if some of that extends to us and we continue to keep a very tight labour market here, we really should be starting to consider not just when interest rates will be coming down, but how little they can come down, how limited the time span will be when interest rates stay down, and potential for interest rates to start going up again, and probably as soon as 2026. This is the things which are just starting to run on the horizon now, which are not the way that we're getting the commentaries running through the market at the moment, which is all maybe they will be able to ease in February. Well, even if they can ease, interest rates aren't going to be staying down for long, given the factors which point towards rekindling inflation most places around the world from late 2025.